Jesus, we do praise you and worship you. We thank you from the abundance of joy that is in our hearts. We see how much you love us. We walk in your love every day in the demonstrations of your love, and we are thankful for it. We praise you because you loved us so much that you gave everything, and it's our desire that we walk in the fullness of your love and all the things that you've given us so that the world can see your glory, that the world is touched by your love demonstrated and seen through us. We praise you and worship you, Jesus. Fill this place, each one of us, individually. We welcome you here. Move through us, Jesus. We thank you and praise you. Jesus, you be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you know how much we love you. Hear the expressions of our love. Be enthroned and lifted up by our love and our praise. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you with our lives. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just have open hearts to receive what you have for us this morning, that you are glorified by your word. We thank you in advance in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Again, before we get started with the word, I do want to say a couple of happy birthdays. Today is Kyle's birthday. Kyle's 10 years old. Yesterday was Shaylin's birthday. Shaylin is joining us. Just raise your hand, Shaylin, so know who you are. Happy birthday, Shaylin. This coming Tuesday is, I don't know if she's here or not, I can't see her, but it's Julie's birthday on Tuesday, so happy birthday to Julie. And Mackenzie, you have a birthday coming up on Tuesday, yeah! How old are you going to be, Mackenzie? 5 years old. Well, Lord, we thank you and praise you just for the gifts of these individuals that you created, these lives you created, and you created them with a purpose. So we lift up each of these lives. We thank you for Kyle. We thank you for Shaylin. We thank you for Mackenzie. We thank you for Julie. We thank you for these lives. And we're enriched because you have prepared these lives. And in that acknowledgement of that enrichment that we have, we say thank you, Jesus. But we also say, we lift up each one of these lives. And we say thank you for the plans you have. And we join our faith with your words, your plans. We join our faith with your plans that each one of these individuals, that first of all, it's a year that is filled with growth in you, deeper knowledge of you, where you just manifest yourself in new ways. But it's also just a year of them just being drawn closer to you and also doing and accomplishing the things that you have for them, that they each walk in your favor and your blessing. We speak the fullness of your joy, your blessings, every good thing in the year to come for each one of them. We say thank you for them in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Happy birthday to each one of you guys. Appreciate it. Okay, so last week we were talking about the power of our prayers for others. And part of the power of our prayers for others is really a fact because of the power of the words that we speak. It's the power of the words that we have. And I want to talk about that aspect of it this morning, the power of our spoken words. Now, to really get a handle on this, the first thing I'm going to do is share a word with you that probably Susie's going to know and Diane's going to know, maybe the rest of you will, colloquialisms. Does anybody know what colloquialisms? I knew if I said it more than once, I'd have a hard time. I got it out once, and I shouldn't have pushed my luck. Colloquialisms. Anybody else know what it is? Okay, so there's a few that do. Kind of a simplistic explanation of colloquialisms. For our purposes this morning, colloquialisms are words or phrases that are usually used in informal speech or informal conversation. They are expressions that are understood by specific and usually sometimes smaller, very specific parts of the population. But they're not words or phrases that are universally familiar. So what I want to do is give you a series of words. These are colloquialisms that are attached to millennials. So if you were born between 1980 and 2000, you'd be considered a millennial. So if you're between the ages of 16 and 36, you'd be considered a millennial. These are words that you should be using, apparently, in your normal conversations. But I want to show you these words, and there's a reason for it, because these are words that are specific. They're used by millennials. So the first word that we have is stress hold. Anybody have any idea what stress hold means? Other than Kim's job. That's actually a very good definition. Let's see. This is what it means according to millennials. They use it for, it's a stress threshold. The most stress that can be tolerated in a given situation. A stress hold. All right, so here's the next colloquialism. This is addiction. Addiction with an E instead of an A. Anybody? Pardon me? That's a good guess. Actually, you're using that word right, but they used it for a different term. This is what it means for millennials when they say addiction. An addiction to electronic devices such as laptops, smartphones, tablets. It's characterized by the constant need to check your smartphone for the latest Facebook posts, Twitter updates, news, etc. Addiction. Here's the next word. Okay, I knew some would know this. Okay, so bae. What is bae? Did you guys hear that? Anybody else know what bae was? Other than Susie? Okay, I was hoping you guys would. All right, good. You were just scratching your head. You weren't saying, you didn't know, did you, Dan? Or did you know? No. Bay? Oh. Well, see, you're probably head of the game. BBF? BFF. Best friends something. I don't know what the rest of it is. Forever. All right, well, bae is along those lines. It's as Susie said, this is what it means. It's created by Apple's mistake of auto-correcting bro to bae. The word has come to be a term of endearment, just as you said, signifying someone's significant other, often used to replace babe or baby. So when I start emailing you, it'll be bae from now on. So if you're a millennial, you've probably heard of these words, or you're more likely to have heard of these words, understood these words, and maybe even used some of these words in your own conversations or words that are like those. Here's the point. When you're with somebody, when you are with a people for a time frame, when you're with them, you pick up their words. That's why these words are called colloquialisms. They're specific to a group of people. When you are with people, you pick up their words, their phrases, and their expressions. You even begin to talk like them. That's why in the South, people in the South have a very specific dialect and a very specific accent. It's because they all influence each other. You know, I was down, not for you, Christian. You've got that Texas accent, Christian, so that's another whole thing altogether. But Sarah, have you picked up? Do you sound more Southern? Your family's saying yes, so you can shake your head or not. It's already been answered for you. But that is true, because I was in Florida for 4 years, and still once in a while, if I get real excited, you'll hear a little bit of that come out. You'll hear y'alls coming out and stuff like that. It's you just because you're around it, it becomes a part of you. You're affected by those who are around you. You pick up their words. You begin to sound like them. People in the South, their dialect and their accent is different than the people who are in the New England area because they're influenced by different people. Here's a good example of that. And I've told you guys this before, but my brother and I, all my siblings, but my example is my brother and I, we both grew up in the same household. We grew up basically, he's only a year and a half older than us. We grew up together. He's my brother. We both grew up as Hostetlers. Now, if you and my brother stand up here with me and we introduced ourselves, I would introduce myself to you as Todd Hostetler. My brother would introduce himself to you as Dan Hostetler. Now, we grew up together. Same father, same mother, same family. But what happened is about 15 years ago, my brother moved, because we grew up in Cleveland, and in Cleveland, you say it Hostetler. That's the only way we ever heard it. That's the only way we knew it. But 15 years ago, my brother moved back to Sugar Creek, which is where my father grew up, and it's where multiple generations of Hostetlers or Hostetlers have come from. And back there, they pronounce it Hostetler. So over the 15-year period, my brother now identifies himself as a Hostetler. So depending on who you're with, we're influenced. We pick up the expressions. We start to sound like, and we pick up the words of those people that we're around. And that's true of sounds and dialects, but it's also true of specific words. When I was a kid, if we were talking about carbonated beverages, we would say, Mom, is there any pop? And pop was all-inclusive. Pop meant Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Verner's, Diet, root beer, whatever. Anything was a carbonated beverage, it was pop. Now my sister, when she got married, she moved to New England. In New England, they don't call it pop. If you say pop, they're going to look at you askance or laugh at you because they call it soda. Yeah, it's called soda. Same thing. If you go to the South, some parts of the South, if they're talking about carbonated beverages, they'll even say Coke. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. You can be talking about 7-Up. You can be talking about Mountain Dew, but it's all called Coke. Why? It's colloquialisms. We are affected by the people that we're around. We start to take on their words. We pick up their words, and we pick up their dialect. We start to sound like them. But the key for us today is we pick up the words of those that we're around. This is true individually as well. If you are with one person a lot of time, you will start to sound like them. You'll pick up their vernacular. You'll pick up their, Dennis. Did we just catch you at something, Dennis? Is that true? Okay. I thought maybe it was pointing out. I thought maybe that was something that you did. Okay. Listen to the good words that she has, because she speaks some really good words. So when we're with people, when we're with somebody a lot, what we tend to do is we pick up their vernacular, their expressions, and their specific words. We pick up their words, and we speak their words. That's important, because that same principle is true for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. That same principle, we pick up the words. Look, the Bible itself, the Bible is Jesus. This is Jesus revealing himself to us. So the more time that I spend with him in this word, the more I'm going to speak like Jesus. The more time I spend here in the word, the more my words are going to match Jesus' words. The more time that I spend in the word of God, the more I'm going to be saying the things that Jesus says instead of saying the things that the world says. I want my words to match up with his word. With his specific words. I want my words to match his words. Now, if somebody is being overly influenced by the world, if they're being more influenced by the world than the word, if they're being more influenced by that and they're not getting that deeper knowing of Jesus in their souls because they're not spending time with him in the word, you can tell by the words that they say. Their words are not going to sound like his words. Their words are going to sound like the world's words. Out of the abundance of our heart, so shall we speak. We want our words, and we need our words to match up with his word. I was with somebody just this week, and they said to me that they had already started to experience or feel they already had some of the symptoms in their body from that nasty, whatever, the cold, flu, virus, whatever was going around that like almost everybody's had. They started to feel those symptoms coming on them. And they said, pray with me because I already feel the symptoms, but I don't want the symptoms. I don't want the sickness. I don't even want a mild case of it. I want to be free of it in Jesus' name. Those are words that I can agree with. Those are words from somebody who's spending time with Jesus in the Word. Those are words, that's somebody that is picking up the words. They've picked up the words of Jesus. You can tell where they've been by the words that they say, right? This is what we need to do. I want my words to be like his words. I want my words. I want to pick up his words. I want to make sure that I'm speaking not what the world says and everybody else says. I want to make sure that I'm speaking his words. I want to make sure that my words match up with his words and my words are partnering with his words. You know what happened? That person didn't get that sickness. Because that person's words of faith matched up with, because that person's words of faith partnered with this word, they didn't get that sickness, even though the symptoms had already started to be there. It's imperative that our words, the words that we speak, match his words. Look, we live in the world, and the world is going to influence us. That's why it's important that we are continually pressing into the Word, pressing in so that we can counter, with our words matching His words, we can counter the words of the world. Donna has on occasion had to gently say to me, "Well, Todd, these are the words that I heard you say." And there's something about when I hear my words repeated back to me, and I can recognize that those are words that don't match up with the Word of God. I've got to make a choice to change my words because I want and I need my words to line up with His Word. I need to make sure that my words are lining up with His Word. Look, if you find that the words and your language are sounding more like the world than the Word, don't condemn yourself. Just make the determination. Make the determination in your mind. I am not going to have any words come out of my mouth that are contrary to this Word. I will only speak the words that line up with and match up with His words. Counter the words of the world by speaking His Word. The words that you speak, they matter. The words that you speak have an impact. The words that you speak are either going to bring the life that is promised from the Word, or it's going to bring the destructions, the impediments, and the defeats that the world gives, because that's all the world can offer you. This is the question that we have to ask ourselves. The question that we need to ask is, are my words, are they partnering with His Word? Or are my words sounding like they more match up with the words of the world? We have to be cognizant of this. You know, one of the great verses about that is Proverbs 18:21. I want to show you that verse to you from two different versions. Because it says, power of life and death is in the tongue. Let's look at it first from the Amplified. The Amplified Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it. For death or life. What you say is going to produce one of those two. The Holy Spirit's going to move through your words of life to bring life. Or if you're speaking words of death, you're allowing the enemy, you're giving the enemy full access to move through your words to bring those words to pass in your life. Now let's look at this from the, I don't use this very often. This is the Complete Jewish Bible, but I like the way that it reads. The Complete Jewish Bible says, the tongue, this is so specific, the tongue has power over life and death. Those who indulge in it eat its fruit. Can it be any more clear than that? The words that we speak, listen to this, the words that we speak in response to the events of our lives are vitally important. When something happens in your life, what are the words that you speak? Because the words that you speak in response to those events is vitally important. So make sure that your words are in partnership with His Word, that they match His Word. Make sure that it's matching His Word and not sounding like the words of the world. We need to be cognizant of the words that we're saying. We need to make sure that we're speaking His words, because the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, you're going to eat the results of what words come out of your mouth. So what are the words? I mean, just think about it. What are the words that come out of your mouth, when things in life happen? Are the words that come out of your mouth when something happens in your life that you weren't ready for, you weren't thinking of, or that just surprises you? Something by the natural appearances that looks like a bad thing. What are the words that come out of your mouth? Do your words sound like this? If you're working for a company and that company all of a sudden starts to have some financial difficulties, are the words that come out of your mouth, would your words be, oh my gosh, they're struggling, I'm probably going to get laid off. What's going to happen to my family? Or in that situation, do your words say, I'm a child of God, and so I have His favor. I don't have to worry. Because He is always going to take care of me. He always has. He always will. Thank you, Jesus. When you have symptoms that show up in your body, Does your mind take you to the place that the words that come out of your mouth say, oh my gosh, these are the same symptoms that my aunt had and my grandmother had, and they all died of this, and you start to picture yourself in the hospital bed, and you say, it must be the family curse? Or instead, do your words say, I'm not under the curse. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. When the market starts to tell you or the economy starts to take a dive, do your words say, I'm going to lose everything and I'm going to be destitute? Or do your words say, I'm a child of the King, and because of that, I am tied to God's economy and not to the world's economy, so I'm not worried about anything? We need to be cognizant of the words that come out of our mouths when things in life take place. We need to make sure that our words partnership and match up with His words. We live, we just saw that from the colloquialisms, we live in a social media culture. And unfortunately, social media teaches us that we just say whatever pops into our head. Whatever thought comes into our head, we just express it without any thought. The devil loves it when we're trained that way, because if we're trained that way through social media, it makes it easier for us to do the same thing in our speech. Something comes up, we just speak whatever comes into our minds. We need to pause. Whatever happens in life, pause. Stop. Think. And before you say anything, make sure that the words you're about to speak partner with His word. Make sure the words you're about to speak are not in opposition to His word. They're not contrary to His word. I'm reading a book right now about the Revolutionary War and the faith of the leaders of the Revolutionary War. And it's astounding the things that we don't know about the faith of the people who started our country. It is astounding how much we don't realize that. And George Washington's one of the best examples. George Washington continually, when you read through his biographies, you see time and time again that when something happens to George Washington, where most of us would just say something and respond, George Washington, in situations where bad news comes, he has a tendency to not say anything, and people would see him, they could tell he was angry, but he would pace and he wouldn't say anything because he collected his thoughts. He wanted to make sure that he chose his words carefully because he understood the power of the words that he would speak. There was a time at the darkest time of the Revolutionary War, 1781. George Washington just quelled a mutiny. So the men that he's the commander of, they were going to mutiny. In other words, they were going to disregard him and take control of the army from him because Congress wasn't paying them. They were ill-fed, they were ill-clothed, and George Washington understood their complaints, but he just quelled. Imagine how you would feel if you're the leader, and they're wanting to mutiny against you. He just quelled that. And then within the same time frame, he lost his entire Southern army, lost all of those men taken prisoners, all of the artillery, all the gunpowder that was so essential, lost. When news of that reached England, England was celebrating and dancing in the streets because they believed that the Revolutionary War was over. And by all natural appearances, it surely looked like it was over. And for George Washington, if he loses the Revolutionary War, best case scenario for him, he loses all of his possessions and he's in jail. Worst case, he's hung as a traitor. So this is a serious matter. These two events just happened. It's a dark time. And then he's just making a surprise visit to West Point, which is one of the key points, positions of the American Army, and just by happenstance showing up there uncovers Benedict Arnold's treason. He was going to turn over West Point, which would have divided the country in half, would have ensured England's victory. I mean, just imagine if you're George Washington, you just quelled a mutiny, you lost your entire Southern Army, and then you find out that one of your most trusted generals and a man that you liked and considered like a son betrayed you. Most of us would be saying, God, what else is going to happen? But George Washington, by example, is always very careful in the words that he says. And you know what George Washington said in the face of all that? George Washington said, I've seen the hand of God time and again taking care of the cause of this nation. But I've never seen the hand of God more evident than in exposing this betrayal. That's not the response most of us would have had. Because we live in a culture of social media where we're taught to just say whatever comes to our minds. We need to be cautious. We need to think about the words that come out of our mouths to make sure that they are in partnership with His word and not the words of the world. We need to make sure that we line up with His words in all things. Our words need to line up with His words. We need to be, there needs to be a partnership of words between you and Jesus. If we want to see His victories and His promises, there needs to be a partnership of your words with Jesus' words. There is a cause and effect relationship when we partner our words with Jesus. Just think about that for a second. There's a cause and effect relationship that results from your words partnering with Jesus. And perhaps the best example of this comes from great, great Psalm. When you say Psalm, what's the first Psalm that comes to people's mind? Probably Psalm 23. After that, what's the next one? Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is that Psalm that has all those many great promises in it. Let me just read a couple of verses to you from Psalm 91. Donna's going to show you these from the Amplified Bible. This is Psalm 91, verses 2 and 3. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely. In Him I confidently trust. For then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. All of the promises, all of those great promises that are found in Psalm 91, those great promises that say that you are under the shadow of His wings, those promises that say 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side, but it will not come near you. Those promises that say the plague shall not enter your dwelling place. Psalm 91 is filled with great promises. All of those promises are realized after the psalm writer says them. And the psalm writer, when he's saying these words, he's saying the words of God. He's matching his words with God's words. Because all those words in Psalm 91, those are words that God Himself spoke through Moses, and you can see those words in Deuteronomy chapter 33. I'm going to show you one verse because I don't have time to go through all this. But in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse number 27, look at this. And remember the verses we just read from Psalm 91. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. When you read Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 27, 28, and 29. I'm just showing you one verse. If you read those three verses, you're going to find there's a lot of words that God spoke in Deuteronomy chapter 23 or 33 that are the same words that you find in Psalm 91. We just saw that God is our refuge. You see that it talks about the everlasting arms of God. You also see that it says thrust out the enemy. Psalm 91 says to drive them out. You see the word safe in both places. You see that God is a shield in both places. You see that we are to tread a certain way in both of those. All of those things that are spoken in Deuteronomy 33, 27, 28, and 29, you will find those words spoken in Psalm 91. Because the psalm writer is matching his words with God's word. He's speaking God's word. Now, Don, if you'll bring up Psalm 91, verses 2 and 3 again. If you understand that, now think about this. So it says, I will say. It's the spoken word. I will say the words of the Lord. I will say words that match up with His words. Then look at verse number 3. I will say, my words will match His words, for then He will deliver. I will say, then He will deliver. I will say the words of the Lord. I will match my words with His words. Then He will deliver. This is the power of what we say. We need to make sure that our words partner with His words, match His words in all things. Our words need to match His words. This is such an important concept that God Himself even says to us, don't say words that are contrary to my words. We see this multiple times in the Bible. Perhaps the best evidence of this is in the very beginning of Jeremiah. Let's look together at Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to read verses 4 through 8. God says, don't say words that are contrary to my word. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. This is Jeremiah. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. God tells Jeremiah, he says, I have set you apart to do my work from before the time you were born, from before you were formed in your mother's womb. I set you apart. I ordained you to become a prophet to the nations. What's Jeremiah's response? Ah, Lord God, I cannot. I'm a youth. What's God's rejoinder? Don't say I'm a youth. In other words, he's saying, don't say I cannot. He's saying, don't say words that are contrary to my word. Jeremiah, don't say something that's contrary to what I say. If God said that Jeremiah was going to be a prophet to all nations, then Jeremiah's words should have been, so be it. We need to make sure that our words line up with his words, because even God says, don't say things that are contrary to my word. Don't say things that are contrary. And yet that's what we find ourselves doing so often. We speak things that are contrary to his word. I told you guys before that when I was born with asthma. I had very serious asthma, was in the hospital several times. I've told you that whole story. But here's the thing. About 7-8 years ago, when I was healed, when I was delivered from asthma, I still had this one problem. Because I kept on saying, after 40-some years of being cautious to not do things or go places where it might affect your breathing, I found that even after I was healed, I would still say, well, I probably shouldn't do that because I have asthma. Well, I probably shouldn't go there because I have asthma. I was already healed. And God said to me, don't say that. Don't say I have asthma. I've healed you. I had to have my words match up his words. I had to keep on saying, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. By his stripes, I am healed. My words had to match up with his words. Peter was taught the exact same thing in Acts chapter 10. You remember the story when Jesus gave Peter that vision of that sheet being lowered down from heaven with all those unclean animals on it? Do you remember that from Acts chapter 10? Just nod your head yes, like you do. Because otherwise, I'm going to tell you the whole story, and we'll be here for a while. Okay, good. So, well, let's read that story together. This is Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. The next day, as they went on their journey and they drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again, a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken back up into heaven. Peter was told, don't say something that's contrary to God's words. Don't say words that are contrary to God's words. If God said this is clean, then don't say words that are contrary to it. If God said these animals are clean, then your word should be, these are clean. God is showing Peter, as he's showing you and I, the same thing. He's showing us, don't say words that are contrary to God's words. We need to guard the words of our mouths, making sure that our words are in partnership with his word, that our words match up with his words. And we think that's a hard thing to do. It's not. It's not a hard thing to do. It's just simply a matter of spending time in the word. As I spend time in the word, as you spend time in the word, you pick up his words. and His words are in you. And then it's His words that flow through you and come out of your mouth instead of words that are contrary to the Word or contrary to the Word. We don't say the words of the world. We say the words that match up with His words. God moves through your spoken words of faith to bring those things from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. This is how God works. Now, we could take a lot of time to explain that, but that's another lesson for another time. For now, can you just accept that fact? That God moves through your words of faith that are spoken to bring those realities that are already done in the spiritual realm here into this natural realm. Our words need to partner with His words. This is not a new concept. This is something that's been the way God has set it up from the very beginning. Even God Himself tells us He will do nothing without first saying it to the prophets. So God would speak His word to the prophets, and then the prophets would speak His word. They would partner their words with His words. This is what it says in Amos chapter 3, verse number 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secrets to His servants, the prophets. God would speak His word to the prophets. Then the prophets would speak that word out loud. Then God would move through those words spoken through the prophets. He would move through the words that partnered with His words. And He would move through those words in partnership with His words to bring about His promises for you and I, for His people. And the best example of this is the coming of Jesus Christ. All the prophecies of Jesus Christ had to be spoken before Jesus could come. So from Genesis all the way through Malachi, anyone that had a prophetic word that God gave them about Jesus, they had to hear, listen, and then speak those words. They had to speak words that match God's words. They had to have words that partnered with God's words. And then God moved through the partnership of those spoken words to, as it says in Galatians, at the fullness of time, Jesus then came to earth as a man. This is the way God operates. He's always operated this way. You are the ones, you and I are the ones that He's speaking to today. Look at that same verse from Amos. But I want to show it to you from the Wycliffe Bible. I'm using all kinds of weird translations today. This is the Wycliffe Bible. The Wycliffe Bible says, "For the Lord God shall make a word." The Lord God shall make a word. No, but He will show His private... The Lord God shall not make a word. All right, let me do this whole thing over again. "For the Lord God shall not make a word, not make a word that He shall not show private to His servants, the prophets. For the Lord God shall not do anything unless first He tell His secret or His private plans to His servants, the prophets." God has a word, and He's already given. This is talking about giving His word to the prophets, His private plans to the prophets. He's giving His word, His private plans to the prophets for them to speak. Guess what? Same thing's true for you and I today. He's given us His word. This is His plan. He's given us all that He has. He's given it to us for us to speak that word into our lives. We need to make sure in our life that our words match up with His words, that we are partnering our words with His words, because it makes an impact in our life. But we were talking last week about the power of your prayers for others. Same thing is true. You need to make sure that you, when you're praying for someone else, you are praying His word over them with power, because we're the prophets of today. We're the ones that have His word. And He tells us that His word, because of Jesus Christ, His word is not hidden to any of us. See, it was hidden to the rest of the world. The prophets got it specifically. You have it. We're the prophets of today. Nothing's hidden from us. We have the word. Speak the word. Make sure that your daily words match His word and are in partnership with His word. Now, some of the greatest words that Jesus gave us, some of those powerful words, were simply stated when He spent that time with His disciples. When He was with His disciples and He had that last Passover with them. And there at that Passover, He instituted the Lord's Supper, but we celebrate His communion. And think about the words that He spoke then. He said that the wine was the new covenant in his blood. He's saying that we have, by the blood he was going to shed, we would then have relationship, restored relationship with God the Father, that we would be joint heirs, that we'd be seated with him in those heavenly places because we have relationship once again. Those are the words that he said. He also said when he was talking about the bread, this is his body broken for us. Jesus is the word, and Jesus is the bread of life. So the word of God, when we take that bread, this is another word that he was speaking to us. He was saying, this is his word, the body. It's his word. When we eat the bread, we're saying that we are eating the word. We're taking his word in. So we need to be sure that we are speaking that word as well. Amen? We're going to spend some time in communion together. He took the bread with his disciples, and he gave thanks, and he broke the bread. Jesus, we praise you and thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your words. We thank you for what you did for us because of your love for us.